Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Carson is on the far side, has Shahid in front of him. Under center is Carr. Play action to Jamal Williams. He's looking deep, and he's throwing deep, and he's throwing for Shahid. Shahid makes the catch. 10, 5, Goose. See you later. Bye. No flags. 70 yards. You can be greedy, my friend, because it makes for a great touchdown.
70-yard touchdown, and that was Saints radio. Embarrassing. I mean, the Saints just came into the Cowboys' house and pushed them around 44-19, and this thing was over. I mean, in the first half, it almost felt like. Maybe early third quarter, rather. But Rashid Shaheed, 96 yards receiving, and the longest was that 70-yard touchdown pearl off. But Chris Olave had a 40-yard touchdown, or excuse, a 40-yard connection, and Alvin Kamara, 57-yard, was obviously that's a lot of yak yards. But yards after the catch, but still these long, explosive plays from the Saints. Like, that's how I would describe their offense. They're just explosive.
Would you? Okay, I'm going to do that thing. You describe it that way, but listen, they beat two bad teams in the sense that Cowboys were playing a playoff game level of when you start rolling on the Cowboys, you can roll like that. And obviously the Panthers are terrible in week one. I've seen Derek Carr go on these heaters. The question is, can it last? So, yes, it was very impressive yesterday, and Alvin Kamara looks reborn. But can this last? I think that they're doing a lot of quick passes to make up for their line when they do pass the ball and the running ball. I just wonder. I mean, obviously, they're not going to score 40 points a game. I'm not sure we know exactly who this team is yet.
I mean, right now they're on the verge of history. 91 points, as I said, most by a team in their first two games of the season in 15 years and tied for fourth most in NFL history. I mean, you think about this. Dennis Allen was the odds-on favorite to be first coach fired. I mean, and against the Panthers, a lot of teams are going to have good days against the Panthers. But against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, I know that the last, like, thing we saw in Dallas was Green Bay running all over them.
Right.
But let's not forget this amazing home field advantage that the Cowboys have enjoyed. Like they have been
regular season. Yeah.
They've been virtually unbeatable there. And you had the Saints come in and just absolutely like shred them. And again, Derek Carr's just being efficient. 16 passes. He goes 11 for 16. He's averaging 14 yards per play, per pass, rather.
Not only that, the new Saints offensive coaching staff, coach circles around Mike Zimmer. It's like Mike Zimmer had the defense going one way and the Saints went the other way every single time. It's like the worst defensive play call possible for the entire first half. It was bizarre.
And this is the thing about the Cowboys. You get a lead on them. Good night. And I'm not saying they're front runners, but their defense is just not as explosive. Michael Parsons can't do his thing when you're running right at
him. They want to run after the quarterback. They have a lot of speed. They just, again, that we thought maybe they did enough to help against the run because they look good in week one. Now I'm very worried about the run defense.
So it's the run defense is one side of this for Dallas, and then the other side is actually running the football. 68 rushing yards, and it's funny because we say, we kind of knew that Dallas, like, wow, this is the trio of running backs are going with Rico Dowdle and Zeke Elliott and our guy Deuce Vaughn. But like, and I think maybe the 49ers and some other teams kind of lull us into thinking you can find running backs anywhere. And that's sort of the idea, but they don't have the right combo here.
Well, when Ezekiel Elliott gets a handoff deep in the backfield, then I can go make a sandwich in the kitchen and come back, and he's still trying to get to the hole. I mean, dude, I can't believe I thought he was okay last week. He is so slow. Also, did you notice, too, Dak Prescott threw a 2022 pick in the sense that his wide receiver is so bad that he just got the slightest hand on him, fell, and the interception, Dak Prescott, 1,000% on the receiver, like it was. Remember he threw 15 picks two years ago, and every single time was because a wide receiver either popped the ball up in the air or fell. I worry about this receiving core, too. I mean, it is basically, once again, CeeDee Lamb or bust.
Yeah, and CeeDee Lamb took a big hit in the end zone, recovered nicely to get another catch later on, but, I mean, he got crunched. You're right, when it comes to the receiver, who was it? It was...
The one who fell?
Yeah, who fell? Was it Brett?
I think it was Jalen Brooks.
Right, yeah. And they asked Tom Brady on the broadcast, would you go back to him? He goes, not today. Like, ouch. There's Tom. There's what we need.
Yep.
Not today. Can't trust him. In a day you're getting absolutely blown out. I'm curious from the Cowboy fans if you're nervous at all. I mean, you won last week on the road in Cleveland. I think everyone thought that was a good win because Cleveland's defense is good. But now you come home and it's Swiss cheese on the defense.
And I mean, Cleveland is not necessarily like your...
Maybe they're not that
great. Yeah, like they're not like your greatest show on turf.
No.
No. I mean, I don't know. They won that game yesterday in Jacksonville, but that was not one we're sending to Canton.
Definitely not.
As bad as that was, there was another game cross country that I think might give Cowboys fans some hope. They are going to feast on this NFC East. I don't know about the Eagles. I personally think the Eagles' defense is pretty bad, but they're gonna get those Giants and Commanders wins. That's why I'm not totally panicked about Dallas. I picked them to make the playoffs. I still think they have a great opportunity here because their division's terrible.
Okay.
Well, we'll see tonight. The Eagles and the Cowboys look like they're in a great spot to win all those games.
So, and then for the flip side for the Saints, can you keep this up? I mean, it'd be historic. They'd be the greatest team in the NFC, like, by a lot. I don't know if they can keep this 47 points last week, 44 points yesterday, and holding opponents to 29 points combined over the first 2 weeks. We knew that the Saints' defense was going to be good, but the offense has been a revelation. Clint Kubiak, Carr's on a heater. Kamara looks rejuvenated. All the things you said. Olave with some big grabs. So it's going to be Philadelphia next week, at Atlanta, at KC, Tampa Bay. So the next couple, next four are going to be interesting tests. But again, I thought Dallas was going to be a big test. So Dallas was a 6-point favorite in this game, and they were crushed.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny to me. I was wondering why. I thought that spread should have been even higher. I picked the Cowboys. That was a good bet to make because I was over maybe 2 minutes in the second quarter, down by 30. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, phew, I don't have to watch this anymore.
Don't sweat that bet.
I'll tell you right now, the Saints are not going to keep this up. They're not going to score 40 points a game. You know why? Because no team in the history of the NFL has. Not only that, they could easily be 3-3 as we go into this. So I think we overreact a lot to the 0-2 teams this year because there's some really good 0-2 teams. Let's not overreact too much to the 2-0 Saints. And come at me, Who Dat Nation.
They will. I mean.
Fine.
They're saying that they're coming.
Please, yeah.
Yeah.
I am telling you right now, if they score 40 points for the next two games, no, they're not. My point is, like, this is historic. That you can't keep this up. I think teams are going to adjust to some point. They are a good team. I'm kind of in on them now.
I was dead wrong.
I was way higher on the Saints coming. I kept saying, like, well, if Derek Carr is healthy, and I just didn't know Kamara was going to hit him like this. Wow. He was like old Kamara. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is the number one running back in the NFL, but now Kamara is right up there again.
And Clint Kubiak, the obviously son of Gary Kubiak, is probably going to be one of the, if they can continue anywhere close to this, now he's the number one candidate to get the fill in the blank job.
Sure.
Whoever.
He could be one and done there with the way this is going. Like, one and done in a good way. Like, he may be 1 year in as offensive coordinator, off to an NFL job, head coaching job next year.
855-212-4227. Can we throw up a poll on the Saints?
All right, what's the poll? Like, do
in
the,
or out?
That doesn't make any sense. Let's make more specific. Do the Saints win the NFC South?
I mean, they look pretty good. Let's go to, yes, you can ask that question. 855-212-4227. Doug is in Indiana. wants to talk about the Chargers, who had a big, they played the Panthers. But again, you go all the way cross country, body clock, all that stuff, and it was never in doubt. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've always been a Chargers fan, and it's been a long time coming that it's been a heartfelt, I don't know, last 12 years since North Turner lost the reins, and it was back and forth. But, you know, everyone jumps on Jim Harbaugh. Great coach. Winning this coach, cool. But I have yet to hear anyone really talk about the defense. If we compare this year and last year at the same time, last year, week one, we gave up 230 yards to the Miami Dolphins, end up losing a close one. We look at this year, those key pieces are still there, the same players. So my question is more of, what does that say, not necessarily about Jim Harbaugh, because we know who he is, but Jesse Minter in his first season as being in the NFL as a coach, what does that say in comparison to what Staley did?
Mm-hmm.
And we've kept the same players.
Yeah, but they're on the field. Doug, that's not fair. And you know, Doug, how many times have you had Joey Bosa and Derwin James on the field together? Well, under Brandon Staley.
Very, very rarely. And that's my point, is like, okay, how long can the Chargers keep these guys healthy all the way through the season? That comes the other part with bringing in Ben Herbert as the strength coach.
Wow, yeah, but Justin Herbert almost got Bolachi crunched yesterday. I mean, that was a scary, scary play too. And by the way, I'm not sure he's out of the woods, right? What are they saying about Justin Herbert?
I think, what was it, like a leg injury? And we already know that he had an issue, and obviously they kept him out of most of training camp, almost all of it. Yeah, and this is tough because you got the Steelers next week, and that's just a tricky one because their defense is obviously awesome. You're on the road again. I think they said they're actually staying in Charlotte and just staying on the East Coast, which is really smart. But then after Pittsburgh, then you go home and you get your division game against Cincinnati. Excuse me, against Kansas City. So
yeah, that's the thing. That's where the real test is going to come into. How far has this team, one, is willing to go, and how far have they come? That's because at the end of the day, our matching bet is Kansas City. That's everyone's like, hey, that's the team to beat. Everyone's aiming for that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, looking for the next few weeks and even the future on. We're our, 2-0, great. Like, I'm excited, but like you said, you get to the Steelers and you start, getting these tests in. Yeah. And we're going to see what these guys are made of.
Who's the backup? Is it still Easton Stick?
It is Easton Stick and Taylor Heinicke.
All right.
Well, one thing.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that, Doug. Thank you for the phone call, though. Yeah, Chargers 2-0 for the first time in 12 years.
So this is the story with the Chargers. We saw it the year they blew that game to Jacksonville in the playoffs. Like, yeah, they can look good, but Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, and Derwin James going to be healthy for 17 games and then through the playoffs. It just feels, I mean, I know Jim Harbaugh is a new thing there. It just feels like they have a lot of old defensive players that they're relying a lot on. And is it going to last?
Well, I mean, yeah.
When you see those guys,
I don't have the answer. I don't have a crystal ball for that one.
I mean, if you were going to forecast it based on the past, it would be no.
Yeah, but like, let's see. And Brandon Staley was terrible. You know, that was just a mistake.
He never had his play. And even, again, he still was above 500.
I know, but here's the thing. It's like, this is when you have defensive head coaches. I think when you are losing guys on the defense, that's where, like, for example, taking my own Buffalo Bills, that's where Sean McDermott, like, really earns his money, is when you have all backups and you're still able to have a prayer on the road. Something like that.
I mean, Staley was 9-8, 10-7, and 5-12. That kind of feels like where this team is to me. So, again, and also, let's talk about the schedule here. This is it's kind of working out for them. Yeah, they are facing the three of the worst offenses in the league, the Raiders, the Panthers, and the Steelers next week.
Yeah.
So we're talking about that defense coordinator. Like, I would look pretty good in this situation.
Let's let you in on our poll questions so far. How should the Cincinnati Bengals feel after yesterday's loss to the Chiefs? Good, you almost beat KC, or bad, we gave one away. 90% say bad, gave one away. So that's early returns there. Who had the biggest surprise loss in week two? Right now, the Cowboys edging out the Ravens and 49ers at 37%. And also, have you seen enough to say the Saints will win the NFC South? Early returns say no. 855-212-4227. Again, we are going to try to get to every single thing, but if there's something you want to talk about with your team, you want to put it on our radar, floor is yours. 855-212-4227. Coming up, We also will hit college today. Our college report card comes your way next. All right, Perloff. Enough's enough. You and I, head-to-head on Prize Picks. So far, okay, you've been doing a lot better than me. But tonight is when I get my revenge because I'm putting all my efforts behind Saquon Barkley, your Philadelphia Eagles, because Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while you watch football. Of course, season-long fantasy. I mean, good grief. Takes so long. Prize Picks, you can pick a new lineup every day. And again, Saquon Barkley is going to be in my lineup tonight. The app is so simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport and then just pick more or less on their projection. You could win up to 100 times your money.
Listen, you're talking to a man who's about to put Kirk Cousins on in prime time. I'm going with the Kirk train. Ooh. I'm trusting in Kirko. I know it's counterintuitive, but it's going to work. On Prize Picks, you can still cash out even if the lineup isn't perfect, and all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Not only that, Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance. Hopefully, I won't need it tonight. If one of your players goes down the first half, Prize Picks doesn't count it as a loss. Just some of the many ways Prize Picks puts its members first.
Prize Picks is the only place I would ever talk about Kirk Cousins. That's the only place because I got all these safety nets. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code MNP, M-A-N-D-P, Maggie Perloff. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Interesting weekend in college football. I don't know if it was as good. Last weekend felt like it was on fire. This weekend, definitely not the big matchups, but there were some really surprising results. There's one game I was like, what on earth is happening here? I was actually out in part of the afternoon window, went to see Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. I want your review.
You'll have to wait.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes, 73%. No, it was pretty good, but I'll get into that more later. What happened to Georgia? We will get to this. But overall, though, I think it was kind of one of those weekends in September where we're just waiting and setting up for future drama.
It snuck up on us. Let's do a little college report card, shall we?
Time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally going to kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Unless you're on this show. Then you're just fine. Kidding. Okay, EJ's going to throw out a person, a team, something, and we'll give it a grade. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's start with Georgia. So, yeah, Carson Beck threw for just 160 yards, no touchdowns. Didn't throw a pick, so I guess that was good. But Georgia barely survived 13-12 against Kentucky. What's your grade for Carson Beck?
C. Terrible. The run game was worse, and Kentucky dominated the run game, which we're not really used to seeing with a Georgia team that feels like they're churning out running backs into the NFL like two at a time. But Carson Beck was not good, and Kentucky had them stifled. I mean, all those field goals. Oh, my gosh. And I thought they were going to lose. The end of that game was excruciating, by the way. I thought Carson Beck looked bad, and as the Heisman frontrunner, I think he is officially fallen down by the pack.
Yeah. Forget Carson Beck, forget Georgia. The New York Giants are the one who get a D yesterday because that's a guy they've been have to be eyeing in the draft. And all of a sudden, we did not see the number one overall pick. I give him a D because he was terrible. And forget the Heisman. Honestly, I was so sure he was going to be the number one overall pick as before Saturday. And now I have a lot of doubt. It's funny about Carson Beck. Like, he could have probably taken off and really, been a top 10 pick last year and didn't quite happen. I thought this year was going to be a steady ride, and it's not been.
It's funny how much Kirby Smart just had it ready to go right after the game. He's like, we had a game like this against Mizzou 2 years ago. We ended up winning a national championship. It's like, all right, you want to keep playing these close ones? They don't want to. But these close ones, you escape 13-12 win.
By the way, against your former Brock Vandegrift, remember how excited we were about that guy at some point? Wasn't he 5-star?
He was a huge recruit right from the backyard.
Yeah, only former Georgia quarterback. Yeah, who is at Kentucky, and he was not good either.
No.
No, not at all. He's had two rough weeks in a row. All right, let's go to another SEC quarterback who had a different kind of game. So Jalen Milroe, 3 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns for 5 combined touchdowns against Wisconsin. What's your grade for Jalen Milroe?
I mean, A+, and yeah, he's now got to be your Heisman frontrunner. I haven't actually checked the odds, but if Perloff had remembered that he had picked Jalen Milroe to win the Heisman, which he forgot about 4 days after we did it, you were on the money, dude. I think that Jalen Milroe is now the guy.
I think it was four plays in on Saturday. I said, let's get that Heisman hype rolling.
Yep.
He just looks so exciting. Listen, Wisconsin's not great. That's not that impressive a win to me, but still, Jalen Milroe, because this freshman receiver, Ryan Williams, I mean, what is going on with this dude? He's 17, and he is flying past guys. And one thing we knew about Milroe is he can throw the long ball. You know, he's not necessarily great at all the intermediate stuff yet, but if he could just throw the bombs to Williams and run, he's going to be really good.
What grade did you give him?
I gave him an H. For Heisman.
Oh. Wow.
I like that, actually. Okay, let's go to another SEC team. Let's go to a head coach. Brian Kelly's LSU Tigers barely survived South Carolina. What are you giving their grade?
I actually give them a B. This is who LSU is. They're going to be in shootouts like that LSU-Ole Miss game last year. And the fact that they hung in there in a game that was supposed to be in a hurricane that looked absolutely lovely outside, by the way.
Yeah, it did.
I think that was a tough game. I think South Carolina is not a bad team, so I'm not going to kill them, because I was actually surprised to see him on this report card. He's like, are people killing Brian Kelly here? Because I think this was setting up to be a negative grade. I still give him a B to hang in there and come away with a W.
No, C minus. USC, they're kicking themselves, I'm sure, but their quarterback gets lost with an ankle injury, and you still can't basically dominate. They got lucky that one of the USC players got called for a unnecessary roughness penalty that basically handed LSU the game. I was not impressed with LSU in this game. Yeah, you're on the road in the SEC. It's not going to be easy, but so many things seem to break your way, and this was still a game you were trailing 33-29 with 2 minutes left to go.
Did you think they were going to lose the whole time?
I did think they were going to lose. So I can't say, all right, because you got bailed out with a penalty that won you the game, all of a sudden now, like, I can't play the process over the results, Perloff. Nick Saban told me that.
But here's the thing. This is who LSU is. Like, who did you think they were? They just lost Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, but Garrett Nussmeier, I keep calling him Grant. Garrett Nussmeier is supposed to be an adequate step in, like a plan B, if you will, or whatever, follow up to Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and he's adequate. That's who they are. I mean, I think if you expected them to win the national title this year, yes. What'd you give them?
C-.
The C-. But if you think they're the same team as they were last year, this is kind of who they are.
Good sign for LSU, the freshman running back. That dude looked good.
Yes.
Caden Durham.
Big game from him. That pick six that was taken back just changed the entire game.
Yep.
Okay, so let's go to the ACC. When it rains, it pours for Florida State. They are now 0-3 after losing to Mike Norvell's former team, the Memphis Tigers. But let's not talk about Mike Norvell. Let's go back to the quarterback. What about DJ Uiagalelei? What did you grade for him after the nose lost again on Saturday?
Prof, I'm going to give this to you because I know you wanted to enthusiastically defend DJU.
So I'm going to give him a D, where everybody else on earth is giving him an F. That's one grade higher than every single other person. Because if you put all the blame on DJU, you're ignoring the fact that they are running for 2 yards a carry this season. You're ignoring the fact that they are the worst special teams in the country. You're ignoring the fact that every single player on that team sucks. I think if you put it all on DJU, you're giving a pass to the rest of that roster, and that would be a terrible mistake. First of all, why can't they run the football? What on earth happened to them? I don't understand. Like, every time a running back gets it, it is either a loss or a 1 yard gain. And the play where they botched the punt, I mean, come on, dude. You're playing Memphis and your defense is playing well. All you have to do is not screw it up. I think to put it all on DJU is a mistake. Yeah, and they should bench him. I'm not going to say that they shouldn't, but
the search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That I think to say that he's the problem is way, way too lenient on the rest of the roster.
Okay, but he's not the solution. And 16 for 30 for 200 yards. And here was the big one. When FSU actually got this thing, it was one score game, right? And they're driving and DJU took two bad sacks and that was basically the end of the drive. I mean, sacked twice in three plays, I think it was. And it's just like, I don't expect anything from this dude. So you gave him a D, I'm going to have to flunk him. Because even you said he should be benched. And
that's
the ultimate failing grade for any player.
I mean, honestly, on who on that offense is playing any better than DJU? Name a guy. I mean, there just isn't. They stink. And I don't know what happened. There was talking about, like, are they not recruiting enough in high school? Are they not developing players? They were undefeated last year. I mean, you said it. I have to give you credit that that took a little of their steam. They were so upset about last year they couldn't recover. Like, they are just not mentally there. And DJU has been really bad, but the whole team has been bad. So that's why I give him a D and let him graduate.
All right, last one. We're going to stay in the Sunshine State. They played two quarterbacks, but it didn't matter for the Florida Gators, who lost at home 33-20. At one point, they were down 33-7 in this game to Texas A&M. Billy Napier booed while he's coming off the field.
Again.
What is your grade for head coach Billy Napier?
Go ahead, man.
I mean, F minus. Like, I saw the big, like, the big headline was that the collective has finally raised enough money for his buyout. Huh. I mean, so in some ways, like, he's going to ride off into the sunset with this golden parachute of $28 million or what have you. I mean, it's just brutal. And he's been terrible. But, you know, I think the expectations of Florida are a little bit off. It's one of those fan bases where you expect to win year after year after year when we're not seeing any evidence of that actually on the field. I mean, next year when Lane Kiffin is their coach, maybe things will be a little bit different. But F.
Yeah, F-. I mean, he's already dead. The Simpsons line.
Yeah.
There's no reason to kick him now. The big question is what happens with DJ Lagway, their superstar freshman. He looked bad. So that's, he had this great week last week, threw like 100 touchdowns against Samford, and he was just totally lost on Saturday. So hopefully you'll ruin that guy. That's my key concern for this season. Like, Napier's already dead. But the question is it so bad for Lagway that he'll want to leave there? I hope not.
Does Urban Meyer come back?
I was actually thinking about that. I could not get that out of my brain watching that game on Saturday. I mean,
how much money would it take to bring him out of whatever this is, pseudo-retirement?
I don't think it would take.
TV.
I think it would take a normal high-end coaching contract. I know he says he's retired, and I know his last job with the Jacksonville Jaguars was just an absolute disaster. But he loves coaching, and to the point where it may be bad for his health. You got to call him, right? He has to be your first call. I know you mentioned Lane Kiffin, and Kiffin definitely could be an option, but I think he's my first call if I'm Florida.
Mm.
Is he still getting paid by the Jags? Is that why he's not working?
I think he at this point, they might. I don't know.
Maybe
I didn't look that up.
Maybe the contract ran out.
Yeah, it might have ran out by now, but he's got to be one of your calls at this point. Florida, you're talking about probably three straight years without a winning record? I mean, is this who Florida is now? I can't imagine that.
How about you, give a call to Dion just to stir it up, just to make Florida stay
mad.
Yeah,
he's going to solve all your problems.
It'd just be an incredible irony if he went to Florida. That would be just like the world would explode.
Well, definitely. But if Dion somehow turns things around, obviously, big game, big win against Colorado State. But Colorado State is just not very good this year. But obviously, Colorado gets back on track. I mean, if he turns the season around, I don't think Mike Norvell's in any danger. I mean, he just went 13-0 last year. Like, you really can't cut the guy, but oof. Looks bad.
It just feels, the Norvell thing, it just feels like last year was the anomaly, and maybe, I don't think they're 0-3 type team. And I think he showed he was a good coach at Memphis. I wonder if they're more middle-of-the-pack team.
Right. Like, well, that's what Perloff said. He thought that, you said you don't think they're making a bowl this year. You might be right.
Florida State?
Yeah.
I said that?
You did.
Huh. Yeah, I mean,
he still exists.
I might be right.
All,
I mean,
all support,
all three that can't be Beppe.
High five. You.
I said that. When did I say
you
that?
You said that.
Right, I think, after your Heisman pick.
After the Georgia Tech game?
After the Tech game.
Well, I mean, listen, again, it just comes back to, and Georgia Tech, that game is like, they are the worst running team I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, they better off taking a DJU sack than handing it off to their tailback.
You know what this is? This whole Florida State debacle, I feel like, I wonder if college football, we're going to see more programs maybe try to like hire like a general manager, because well, to they me, all this have is all now. About the portal.
They all have general managers now. I think they've happened because they got to manage the NIL.
Yeah, so what I was saying though, like last season, I mean, their portal, they struck gold. I mean, Verse and Fisk, I mean, not all of them were all just last year, but these are all transfers that they got in and played great. They got guys this year from much bigger schools, guys from Georgia, guys from obviously, you know, Clemson and Oregon State and DJU, and they can't do anything. Like, to me, it's almost more about roster management than it is maybe necessarily coaching on Saturdays.
I mean, they lost a lot of guys to the
You're
NFL.
You're right. Yeah,
I mean,
no question.
Yeah, but so does Georgia every year, and so does Michigan, and so does other. I mean, maybe I shouldn't bring up Michigan, but.
I mean, how many news? Yeah, but Georgia, does Georgia lose 15 of 21 starters?
They lose 11 guys. Yeah. They'll lose 10 guys year after year. Now, Georgia's in a different spot, obviously, than Florida State. But
I mean, Florida State lost, obviously, two big receivers. They lost their entire defense. Yeah, the transfer portal giveth and taketh. You can have these kind of total implosions.
That's a little bit of our college report card. If you want to call in about your school, 855-212-4227. It was a sneaky, interesting week in college football. Wasn't expecting a lot, and then all of a sudden, you had Georgia on the ropes. You had LSU on the ropes. It was a fun day.
Yeah. I was going to, it's funny, we do picks every Friday. I was going to pick the LSU South Carolina under because of the hurricane. And that covered in about 9 minutes. The over. Yeah. They just, I love this kind of SEC shootout. I love the fact that Brian Kelly, despite his best interests, has LSU in all these shootout games. I think it's fun. That was a really good game.
Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. Let's head back to the NFL. What do you got, folks?
Guys, your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code M&P and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. As you guys have already mentioned, Isaiah Pacheco was doing his EJ impression yesterday, leaving Arrowhead in a walking boot and on crutches. After hurting his ankle late against the Bengals, Andy Reid couldn't provide much of a post-game update.
We'll just have to see. He's having some tests done on it now, x-rays, all that stuff. So I don't have anything for you exactly what it is, but he came out with the ankle.
Pacheco, though, very emotional apparently in the locker room, so KC might not be getting good news later today, but at least they're 2-0 after surviving the Bengals 26-25 with Pacheco running for 90 yards. Justin Jefferson says his bruised right quad's no big deal. He should be fine for the coming weekend. Luckily for the Vikings, Jefferson got banged up after doing this.
Darnold under center. Play action to Jones. Back to pass. Bosa picked up. Deep shot. Jefferson! Yes! Caught at the 50. Heads left to the 40. Cuts back to the 25. Heads to the right. He's trying to outrun the Niners. To the 5. Touchdown!
Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. Minnesota, a 23-17 win over San Francisco. They're 2-0 under Sam Darnold, something they never did under Kirk Cousins.
I don't get into narratives like that. I think the biggest thing for us is just continuing to take it one day at a time. And we'll keep, you know, stacking really, really good days on top of good days, and we'll see where we go from there.
The Texans also 2-0 after holding off the Bears 19-13 on Sunday Night Football in Houston. The Texans only scored 3 points after halftime, but picked off Caleb Williams twice and stopped Chicago on a late fourth down. To baseball, where the Dodgers scored 7 times, top 9, to win in Atlanta 9-2 last night. L.A. remains 3.5 clear of the Padres atop the NL West. San Diego winning in San Francisco in the afternoon 4-3. But the final score of that one, not what matters.
Down the line. It will. It is out of here.
Did he do it?
And this game is tied.
And now we want to find out if that went into the water.
Because if it did, there's never been a right-handed hitter that has done it since this ballpark opened its doors in 2000.
Elio Ramos is the first right-handed hitter to put one in McCovey Cove behind the right field wall in San Francisco. I mean, that's a poke when you're pulling it. Going the other way is ridiculous.
That's incredible.
That's opposite field power right there.
I mean, in that the wall is high, the wall is far. You've got a clear like 10 or 12 rows of stands. There's a sidewalk back there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like the right-handed hitters that are in that have been in that division, but right. I guess there really haven't been a guy with that kind of opposite power to do that.
Right, and it's not, it's any right-handed batter, not even a giant.
Well, yeah,
so all
exactly.
The visiting players that have come in there that have had, and again, going back to 2000, you're bringing in some legit all-time guys. Like Pujols never went out there.
How about Manny? How many times? Manny's
a pull hitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking like Judge and Stanton maybe could do it, but they play, you know, in the American League, so.
Yeah, but Stanton went as a Marlin and never did it.
It's true. It's incredible.
But the lefty guys are the ones with massive opposite field. I mean, Shohei hits an opposite field. If he was a righty, he hits the
Harper
ball.
Hit one.
Miles.
Harper poked one on Saturday to left. It was just like, it was easy.
That park is stupid.
I hate that park sucks, but just the fact that he could do that was, wow. Nice to have that guy on your team, even though I hate them.
I mean, that stadium, it's like a check swing homer.
Mookie Betts, is he a big opposite field guy? I'm not picturing that at all. I feel like he's a pull hitter, too.
I mean, I don't know about homer. I mean, pull hitter for homers, probably. Mookie's not going that distance to right, straightaway right field.
Yeah, Mookie was on the mic last night. I was telling Maggie, it was the most charming in-game interview I've ever seen. He made some headlines for saying something in his in-game interview. Because I'm a Dodgers fan, I follow really closely.
You're a Dodgers fan? Yeah.
No.
Stop. You're going to make people upset.
You're not getting away with this now that I'm here. No.
Well, I get a West Coast team and an East Coast team. That's a deal.
No.
You maybe get an AL team. Maybe.
I don't know. Okay. Give me the Dodgers.
The White Sox.
So awesome. How can you not like the Dodgers? They got Shohei and Mookie.
Because you might play them in the playoffs. That's why you can't get them.
Because I'm like a kid with star power.
Yeah. You are.
Root for the Yankees. Root for the Yankees.
Come on.
You might as well. The Dodgers are like the Yankees. You're going to tell me the Dodgers, the Yankees. I mean, what's the difference?
They lost to them in a World Series.
Bunch of money. I mean,
No.
It's the same thing.
It's just Mookie and Shohei are so much more exciting to me than Aaron Judge and Soto. I don't know why. Just they're more likable. Judge is cool, but he's kind of quiet.
Did you see Judge actually with the when they threw behind him?
No, what he do?
He was like, next time, better hit me. Like, if you're going to do that, I'd suggest, or something. He said something to that effect.
Why would you even think about throwing at that guy?
It's stupid.
He's 6'7", and he looks like he's 7 feet tall. Like, he would scare me.
And after he hit the home run, he was holding on to the bat, didn't let go until he almost got to first base. Which is pretty scary.
Yeah. No, he's a mild-mannered guy. He's like quiet, gentle giant sort of dude. But no, he gets, I guess, a little bit salty. That was such a dumb series, like, in terms of who was hitting each other, who wasn't. The intentional walk to Devers was so silly. Anyway.
Caitlin Clark, a career-high 35 points, setting the WNBA's rookie scoring record along the way. And the Fever won again, 110-109 over Dallas. They clinched the sixth seed in the postseason. And the U.S. held off the European team to win the Solheim Cup for the first time since 2017. This is women's golf's version of the Ryder Cup. Guys, back to you.
Thank you.
I was about to ask. I had no idea what sport you were going with
there. I got you.
You should have stopped and said it could have been pickleball, it could have been rugby. I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I just actually don't want to talk to you anymore after you becoming a Dodger fan.
I'm sorry, but you need to get into Solheim Cup results instead of talking more about my Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on, they're all the way out in L.A.
No.
Nope.
Can't have it.
There are some rules that you have to follow.
You guys, there are a lot of Mets fans here. Are you guys jumping off?
No.
No.
No, we're not you.
I thought I gave you guys an opening there.
If I'm going to jump off because the Mets lost heartbreaking loss to the Phillies, I would have done that 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago. Pick a year. I mean, come on. I'm born for this at this point.
Yeah. Can't hurt us like it used to.
Exactly.
855-212-4227. Lots more college, lots more NFL. We have not got to the Packers yet. With a win, with a backup quarterback, Malik Willis. We have not gotten to Is there a new starting quarterback at Texas now with Arch Manning taking over for Quinn Ewers? We've got so much on the table. 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move. Surprising NFL results all over the place in week two. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I think a lot of people, Pearl, were expecting Malik Willis and the Packers to completely fall on their faces and the offense. Well, they didn't exactly light the world on fire. They won the game 16-10. The defense really led the way. But Malik Willis was not a disaster. He was not an embarrassment. In fact, far from it. Did not have a turnover. I mean, not a lot of pass attempts. So they were very smart, in fact, to kind of like work around him. He was 12 for 14 for 122 yards and a touchdown. No turnovers. Did not take a sack. And they just relied on the run game. Josh Jacobs, 32 carries for 151 yards. And the Colts defense couldn't do a dang thing about it.
Well, it's amazing, too, because the Colts knew the Packers were going to run right at them. Like, every play, it's like very clear they're handing the ball to Josh Jacobs. So normally NFL teams can gear up and stop the run in that situation. The Colts just couldn't do it, which says a lot about the Colts. So Malik Willis's touchdown, which was a big deal, was terrifying.
The one he threw, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a short throw.
Oh, my God. It looked like it was a pick six for half the play. He whizzed it out to the sideline, and the Colts defender was right there, just barely got by him. Then it was a touchdown. Then, by the way, the Packers, if they hadn't fumbled at the goal line, if Jacobs didn't fumble at the one, then that game was totally out of reach. One of the many games where fumbles at the goal line are a huge thing. Everyone's punching the ball at the one.
Yeah, Cam Akers with a bad one last night.
Running backs are just not holding on to the ball. But regardless, the Packers look good, except you got to look at it. Jordan Love was questionable till really late in the week. He's got to play, right? If you're questionable for week two, and you're a quarterback, aren't you in for week three?
Well, here's the question, because, again, Malik Willis wasn't a disaster.
Nope.
And this is a guy who said he was, like, cramming to try to figure out the playbook because he just got to town, like, you know, 2.5 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago at this point. You maybe give him another week. You're going up against the Tennessee Titans. Now, listen, Tennessee, when you're on the road, they can be, you know, it's not nothing to go there. But look at what happened. Will Levis is a disaster. You have the coach on the sideline saying, what the bleep are you doing? Because, again, he's falling to the ground trying to make a last-minute play, and it ends up being a turnover. He has had this now 2 weeks in a row. Like, he has not gotten it through his head that you've got to either just eat the sack there and that's it. Or if you're going to throw the ball away, actually throw it away. But I don't even think you trust him for that. So my question is, do you give Jordan Love in a non-conference game? Do you give Jordan Love an extra week because you think you might win this game even with Malik Willis?
Yeah, I mean, the Titans definitely should be at least 1-1, probably could be 2-0. I think you're not good enough to beat them with Malik Willis. You do not know. The Titans are going to be so desperate to not go 0-3. It's in Tennessee. I think you absolutely need Jordan Love. If he can play, the Packers are 1-1 because they did lose in Brazil. Like, But I'm just saying, 1-2 is not ideal. Even I think if Jordan Love was questionable on Friday and then I think doubtful on Saturday, I think he's playing. I understand what you're saying. You have a really good point. Malik Willis showed he can do enough to hold the fort. But obviously Tennessee has a game tape. They're going to load up against Josh Jacobs and make Malik Willis beat you with his arm. And I love Malik Willis. I'm a big fan of him coming out of Liberty. I just don't see that happening here.
What about the fact that this is Malik Willis's former team? So knows them.
They know him.
And they know him.
They know him very well.
I get it, but he also knows them. So he might know where there's maybe some pressure points of the defense, or I don't know. Just a lot of familiarity.
Think about it. He's a young quarterback. He started some games there, and they've seen him play. I assume, actually, it's a new coaching staff, so I don't know actually how much they know him. But I feel like I don't think Malik Willis is scaring the Titans yet. I want to recant an apology I made to you.
What?
Yes.
Recanting an apology?
I'm recanting an apology. I'm unapologizing. Is that a thing? Are you allowed to do that? Because I apologized to you because you said Cam Jurgens, the Eagles center, was going to be one of the most impactful non-quarterbacks. In week one, he was. He did not know how to snap the ball.
Yeah.
And I also apologized because you said there was a big deal that the Packers switched their backup quarterbacks to the last minute. Now, turns out you were wrong because they won with their backup quarterback. And the guy that they switched out is still there anyway. So actually, your original point was not valid because Sean Clifford, who was the backup, was on the practice squad. So kind of it all ended up okay in the wash. So you had no reason to panic.
No. First of all, that's a technicality. The guy was on practice squad. He basically gave up on him. And the other part
is... And no one even signed him. He was so bad.
You should still apologize to me because it was shocking that Malik Willis was able to do this, right? This took a lot of effort by the Colts to come in and be bad. Anthony Richardson, nobody throws a less catchable ball than this dude. I don't care if it's going 5 yards or 50. There's nothing catchable about this ball.
It's fun to watch, though.
It's really fun to watch. And Jonathan Taylor was over 100 yards rushing, but like there is something. Anthony Richardson is not ready.
Oh, you know, the guy's played 17 football games and you're telling me he's not ready? What?
I don't know. He had a full offseason just like every other rookie going into their second year. And it's just such an adventure when this dude throws the ball. 3 interceptions yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not changing my tune here. Recant apology official.
No.
In fact, you should be apologizing to Malik Willis.
Well, maybe that. But not you. David is in Baltimore. David, woof. What'd you see out of your team yesterday?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if Roger Goodell, I guess he wants certain teams to win every week. But I thought, and I hate to sound biased or anything, but I think both of these games should have been winnable for the Ravens. I mean, I'm not trying to be selfish or greedy, but I thought the first game, Isaiah Likely could have had his foot down in the end zone, and, maybe that would have tied the game. But Harbaugh, he was going to go for 2 anyway, so
Yeah. Maybe
at the same time they wouldn't have had an opportunity to win that game because, I mean, at best I would have made it 27-26 last week. Yesterday's game, the Ravens, believe it or not, were actually winning the game at one part earlier in the ball game.
Yeah, heading into the fourth quarter, where you are up by 10.
And believe it.
Right, right.
They should have been.
So what I'm trying to say, there's a lot of wagers on these games, and I know Roger Goodell picks who he wants to win. And last week's game was more like, a Taylor Swift thing. They probably had to win that game that she stood for Taylor Swift. Now, yesterday's game, I thought, was another winnable game, but I guess there's a lot of money on Vegas, too, so I guess Roger Goodell,
David, you say it so matter-of-factly, like Goodell was out there, tripping up guys, and, I get it, you're a little salty about starting 0-2, but, you should be able to put away the Raiders.
I'm not really salty about it because I know the games are fixed a lot of times in this day and age. It's not like when I was growing up back in the 80s.
Dude,
you're
killing us, though. It's not actually fixed.
Well, I mean, I know you're going to say that because you have to say that because you're announcers and you want to make it, that like it's not fixed. But in reality, it probably is because there's a lot of money on these games, a lot of money in Vegas. There's a lot of money on Kansas City, and in this day and age with so much betting in sports, so much betting in sports
nowadays.
No,
David, I get it. You are salty. I gotta stop you there.
No, I appreciate David's confidence. I'm sold. I mean, he's pretty sure. And by the way, those calls were bad.
Yeah,
The Ravens have every reason to be mad.
Well, don't go 3-for-11 on third down. Yes, you got a lot of penalties, but, so did Houston last night.
Yeah, but they were very specific mistakes in that game. I'm not saying what David's right. I'm just saying that they screwed that one up.